Hello everyone, it's Richard Lewis here again with another video, and today I'm going to be asking an important question, and that is, who the fuck would be an in-game leader in the current Counter-Strike landscape? There seems to be a new paradigm present, and that is namely that the role of in-game leader, arguably the most important role in the team, has been consistently undermined by the organization's need to pander to their star players. Now, first, before we get into it, it's worth noting that the concept of in-game leader, the person who creates a playbook and calls tactics and reads the game, could just have easily been phased out altogether had Valve not enforced their rule about coaches not being able to call during a game. Their thought process about it was, quote, "We were always open with them about our opinion of distributing the work of five players, e.g. keeping track of the economy, calling plays and mid-round calls, and general situational awareness across six people was not in line with our goals, one of which was to make it possible for new teams to emerge and compete at the highest levels. We had no concerns with the other coaching responsibilities, and at the time, any potential harm was hypothetical." And obviously, this was in a reaction to lots of organizations reaching out to Valve and saying, "We want to have an external coach be the in-game leader for our five players." Valve didn't like that at all. So in-game leaders breathed a sigh of relief everywhere, because the era of super teams, you know, five players being controlled by someone external to the game, you know, puppet masters, it never happened. In-game leaders had an inherent value now, and one that was, in essence, protected by Valve, so it would always be important, it would always be needed for the majors and any other Valve-sanctioned tournaments that would pop up. Now, unfortunately, it seems star players and organizations aren't on the same page as Valve at all. It seems a lot of people think there's nothing to this IGL business, that you can chop and change, play fast and loose, and still have the structure needed to succeed. And this seems a crazy conclusion to arrive at during a time when the clear number one team in the world is one that has an accomplished in-game leader and coach working together in tandem. They have a tactical system in place that is more valuable than any individual player on the roster. Astralis are not going to be replaced by a group of players running around with subpar tactics, hoping to bang people's heads off, and yet increasingly it seems the tacticians, the people that I believe can mastermind the downfall of Astralis, are having a harder and harder time getting the respect and indeed the tools they deserve. Let's start with FaZe. Now, Kerrigan is probably the best in-game leader in the world if you need a quick turnaround. Someone who came late to leading in his career, he has always been open to input from other players and has never really been much of an autocrat. This proved to be his downfall in the old TSM Astralis lineup, when players simply didn't want to do things his way, even refusing to play maps that he wanted to. And how do you enforce your rules when previously you've agreed to do everything by committee? At the most recent major, you saw a floundering FaZe go 0-2 in the groups. And now, while I agree the IGL must shoulder a lot of that responsibility, it's also worth pointing out it's not as if the players were at their best, as FaZe lost to Big and eventual finalist Na'Vi, the two more difficult opponents they would face out of the five that they played. You enter Nico, a player who has done this before, of course, who usurped Kerrigan and declared himself God Emperor of the team. Only he could guide them to victory in the group stage, apparently. Unfortunately for him, he was served up the Snacks era Mouse Sports, Ty Lue, and a G2 that still believes Smiths in existence can hang at Tier 1. There's no real evidence to suggest Nico is a great thinker or in-game leader. We just know he's absolutely fucking sick at the game. And this was enough for him to get his way about everything when he was at Mouse Sports, and this has now become the way over at FaZe. Now, in an interview, Nico had said it would be a temporary move, but like a dictator who promises democratic elections soon after taking power, it just never is it? And 2 weeks later, he said that Kerrigan would never be the in-game leader of FaZe again. This surely spells doom for Carrigan's time on the team, because what does a Carrigan that doesn't devise strats actually do for a team? Well, the reality is, not a whole lot of much. So one of the most successful IGLs of the modern era is sat around waiting for the official kick from the team, not knowing whether or not FaZe would even sell him to a rival, given his effectiveness at turning other teams around. It's also incredibly doubtful that they will pick up an IGL at all, because Nico most likely wants to hold on to the reins. Now, I will add, there's some truth to the criticism that FaZe certainly underachieved during their time, but how much of that is on Carrigan? Don't forget that during this time, they used multiple stand-ins as Olaf had to take some time away from the game, and that period of flux was the same time period that Astralis were able to become the dominant force they are now, and Na'Vi managed to get another player, Electronic, competing on the same level as the best player in the world, Simple. What would have happened had Olaf been in the team? We'll never know, and Carrigan is likely going to pay a heavy price for that question. It seems as well, even if you overthrow Astralis, it's not enough to cement your position securely. Let's look at MSL. Now, MSL's always been an idiosyncratic in-game leader who has historically fallen out and removed players from rosters he probably shouldn't have, and who also has his own superstitions that have probably held him back against certain opponents. But despite that, you will not find a better prepared IGL in the world. Someone who fastidiously watches demos and constructs strats on that basis, who anti-strats as well as anyone in the game. MSL was most recently able to defeat Astralis in a best of three, not once, but twice at the same tournament, namely DreamHack Stockholm. And afterwards, in an interview, he said he watched 150 Astralis demos to get to that point. Now, not only did North win the competition, but MSL was also given the MVP award for his performances, having reinvented himself as an AWPer just for the system to work. So then they go to the major and shit the bed. But here's the thing about that. First off, it was in a bunch of close best of ones against some decent teams. Secondly, there's no denying North suffered at the hand of the sound bugs that plagued the early stages of the tournament. Thirdly, there are four other fucking players on that team, and some of them simply did not pull their weight at that tournament at all. And if you look at MSL's individual stats, they weren't that bad. They represented a consistent uptick in his form, and he was on a climbing trajectory performance-wise that saw him hitting numbers he hadn't since May 2015. Incredibly, MSL was the one deemed to be surplus to requirements after the major, someone proven to be able to beat Astralis, and someone who had switched up his entire game to make it work. His replacement, Cadian, was someone who'd been out of top tier CS for years and had only just at the same major shown he was in personal form that showed he could compete among the best. There's little to suggest he can be as effective as an IGL as MSL, but the players want the change, and that's what happens. On that note, I don't think any in-game leader in World Counter-Strike has been treated as badly as Golden was during his time during Fnatic. He was added to the roster from the Fnatic Academy side with impossible shoes to fill because he actually replaced the legendary player Olaf Meister, but quickly established himself as a pretty solid leader despite a lack of top-tier experience. He also bled for the cause, famously going straight into a game at E-League with no sleep after a delayed flight from Sweden. And the veterans all seemed to love him at that time, giving multiple interviews about how he had re-energized them and given them new life. On top of that, he actually got these players who had been on a very clear downward spiral for some time to win tournaments again. Fnatic took IEM Katowice, their first major tournament win in what seemed like an eternity, and all looked right with the world. For reasons we still don't know, the players, even as they were still picking confetti out of their hair, decided that Golden had to go and started to talk to Exist about potentially joining. However, what they hadn't factored on that was they would still have to attend WESG, a tournament with a prize pool so big you can't just swerve it due to internal difficulties, with Golden still in tow. Images of him sitting alone at the tournament were posted on HLTV, and it was clear in the midst of the event things were not as good as they should be. That's usually a recipe for disaster, but somehow this team was still able to win out the whole tournament, taking the massive first prize, and the Exist deal seemed to be off the table. Famously, this is when Golden dropped his tribute to Neymar, tweeting out, "I stay." So at this point, Golden's like Donald fucking Trump, right? He's just tired of winning. So what do you think happens next? That's right. The team go ahead and set the wheels in motion to remove him from the roster anyway. Not just that, they decide to replace him with an IGL who had won only a single tournament as in-game leader, because standing in for FaZe doesn't count, in the whole of 2017 in the form of IEM Oakland, despite playing with some of the best players Sweden has to offer. Rather than cut Golden straight away, they moved him to entry fragger, a role he hasn't ever really done in his career, and then they sit back and wait for the inevitable underperformance to justify kicking him. Incredibly, he stuck around still and did this for the team. I'd have said, fuck this, put me on the bench. And eventually he got replaced by Draken, who isn't even on the fucking team anymore. It's not just Europeans that have been bitten by this bug either. Let's talk a little bit about Fallen, probably the greatest in-game leader in CSGO history, and the recent woes he's had in his lineups. Yes, even someone like Fallen, a player who basically created a scene out of nothing, a leader who has arguably brought through more top-tier talent than anyone else, a tactician who devised a system that dominated the field across multiple lineups, the jewel in the crown in one of Counter-Strike's greatest dynasties. Yes, even he isn't immune to the old star player knife under the ribs these days. When SK Gaming really started to struggle, there was a lot going on behind the scenes. The team had been at loggerheads with the organization for a while, communications had broken down irreparably, and a move to the Immortals management control made in Brazil had been agreed upon, but it was on a delayed basis. Now, famously, you'll remember the team brought in Bolts after the collapse of Immortals. We won't talk about that debacle. And they said that this was going to be the team that would take them to the next level. And it started out great too. They won Epicenter in a best of five against Virtus Pro, which hammered the first nail into the Polish coffin. But then after that, they found themselves in this weird place. They even had to come out and say, we're not that worried about the major because of the rules that meant they would have to use Phelps at the major. So they were effectively working with two rosters, living in two worlds, one version of the team playing with Phelps, who's a very different player to Bolts, and one that they wanted, but probably all things considered, couldn't deliver. In the end, the Bolts team just kind of missed its window. It never lived up to its heights that it promised at its start. So what happens? Coldzera comes out and says he's going to take over as in-game leader. And during this time, while they achieved a couple of notable results, they also lost a bunch of games. And crucially, the extra responsibility saw Coldzera's game suffer, which you absolutely can't have because he's the star player. So it was clear that none of this would work. And then the move to MIPR was bolstered with new players. It was the first time the great Brazilian core would play with non-Brazilians. Different language, different attitudes, different experiences, and they're all trying to come together and make a great team. And unsurprisingly, it didn't get off to the best of starts. And while Fallen's personal form suffered, when you would think everybody should be trying to lift him up, he actually had his star player still undermining his IGL status. This led to the insanity, don't ever do this organizations, by the way, of having two in-game leaders active on the roster depending on what fucking map you're playing. Coldzera publicly tweeted this out as well, which isn't a good move as far as I'm concerned, because it opens you up to ridicule if things don't work, and unsurprisingly, again, things didn't work. Coldzera also was underperforming on the maps he would lead on. There was a statistical correlation between the two. And it was just a terrible time for MIBR fans and players alike. Now, thankfully, that's all over now because they've agreed to bring in a coach to support Fallen. That's Yanko, of course. And slowly and surely, MIBR are course-correcting and looking like a much better team. But fuck me, who would ever think it was a good idea to cut a leader like Fallen off at the knees? I think this has been going on for a while too. If you think about what's gone on in NA, you would immediately think of Stanislaw. Stanislaw joined Team Liquid from Optic while riding the crest of a wave. He had a huge underdog win over Astralis at E-League Season 2, where he'd proven himself to be a more than capable in-game leader. He decided on a personal level he could win more trophies elsewhere and decided to leave Optic, which earned him the name Snakislaw among Optic fans. Whenever you think about it, I always respect moves that are driven by ambition over money, where players say, I want to win in more, and I think I can do it with this group of players. And Team Liquid, who were perennial underachievers when you consider the players they've had and the money they spent, certainly looked a good fit. Maybe all they needed to crack the nut of winning tournaments was a solid captain and leader. Now, I'm not going to bore you all by regurgitating what happened after he joined, because we all know that while slowly but surely Team Liquid did improve, in the end he was on collision course with the coach Zeus, and he lost that particular battle. There's a twit longer all about it. And now Stanislaw is at Complexity, having pulled out a pretty wild run at the Face It Unlimited Eggs Major and ending up being praised by Jason Lake as the best in-game leader Complexity has had since Trip, which is high praise indeed. But honestly, Stan must be shitting himself if they hit a bunch of bad results, and their online form suggests maybe something like that could be on the horizon. So to summarize, in-game leaders don't seem to have the same status as they once did. They do not longer seem to control rosters. They no longer seem to have the same relationship status within organizations as they should. And it really leaves open the question, why would anyone do it at all? If this becomes a long-term trend, it could have a huge impact on the game, as developing players are already unlikely to want to be the IGL figures and would rather emulate the simples of this world. Most adopt it either because it suits their skill set or because it gives you more opportunities than being another rank and file player. But now, as we enter the era of star power, that seems to be less and less true. Anyway, those are my thoughts on the IGL situation in Counter-Strike at the moment. Why don't you leave a comment below and let me know what you think, and I'll see you on the next video.